Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 533. This is Kevin DeFrango, and no one is with me. Because I went to the Absolute Intense Wrestling Show up in Akron this past weekend by myself. It was not on iPay-per-view, so no one else can watch it unless they weren't in attendance, or unless they were in attendance, I should say. So that leaves me going solo, and I am just going to kind of read off of my Twitter notes from the previous evening here. It was quite convenient that it was a Saturday instead of their usual show days are Fridays. That makes it a little bit trickier. Akron is a whopping half hour closer than Cleveland, too, so it does make it closer to Columbus to get there. But with the time that the shows always end, which is around 11 o'clock, you really need to stay in whichever location, because I am just too old for those shenanigans to be staying up late and driving home at Lord only knows what hour. I can afford, thankfully, to go ahead and stay one night somewhere not in Columbus. So that's what we did. We also used it to take advantage of some other sites around Akron, which I was totally unaware of, even though Kent State is a mere 15 minutes from Akron. Plus, I'm sure things have changed in the 20 years since I graduated from now, but the Cuyahoga Valley Railroad, it is definitely something that would have been there because it's been running since the 1800s. But that was kind of cool to learn about. Anyway, back to the wrestling, I suppose. Let's start things from the top. Like I said, let's just roll off of things. I did note early on that the sound was kind of trash, and evidently Steve Guy saw my tweet about it not sounding good. And they tried their best to resolve it. But I will say that they probably just did not have enough speakers for the Tadmore Shrine. It's a pretty large space. I'm trying to remember if on their podcast the card is going to change, if they mentioned that it was that it was about the same size as the Odeon, which I found a little shocking, to be honest with you. Or a little bit bigger, just knowing that space pretty well, I'm a little bit surprised. But maybe with the way they need to set up the ring, they could get more people into this venue. I'm not completely sure. But yeah, that was the other thing. I know that they sent out an email the day of show that there were tickets still available. But it would seem to me that they probably sold 80, 85% of the crowd. I would say, like, there were not a whole lot of empty spots in the bleachers. We were fairly packed in with people in our area. And it looked that way throughout most of the wooden bleachers. The seats themselves were sold out. And I did not get to purchasing the tickets early enough, or else I would have had those. I was out of sheer laziness, probably. I don't have those more than the cheap skatery of not buying the expensive tickets. Yeah, evidently the sound, the Tadmore Shrine did not have their own sound system. So that led to AIW having to bring in their own speakers for the place. And I just don't think they have enough speaker for that large of a venue. So that part kind of stunk. But to be honest with you, it really did not affect too much the show. Because there weren't a whole lot of segments other than Ted DiBiase and the Duke, squaring off, right before the halfway part of the, right before the intermission. There really wasn't a whole lot of talking, so it wasn't that big of a deal in the long run, all things considered. So anyway, getting back to the first match, man, I keep distracting myself. We have CPA taking on Wes Barkley. The Rip City Shooters would open the show and end the show. unfortunately for one Wes Barkley, he was not as successful as his stablemate, Josh Bishop. my wife was wondering about CPA's choice of using Pat Benatar for his intro music. I am a warrior. I kind of understand that, but I will admit I do think it seems like a little bit of a peculiar choice. But he ended up winning over over Barkley, and I didn't really write down what the finish was. There was still kind of a lot of movement in the stands themselves, so I think that may have distracted from seeing the actual finish. Someone that I have been quite entertained by on Twitter is a character by the name of Danhausen, who was part of the production. I think he's still part of the production. But that faction has not been has not had as much of an impact recently in AIW. But Danhausen has popped up a lot of awesome videos, and it was pretty fun to see him wrestle maybe for the second time. I think we might have seen them the last time we went up to Cleveland. But I can't completely recall, and I need to write these things down and not just put them on Twitter because this information will be lost from Twitter quickly. Anyway, Danhausen had a really fun spot where he did penalty kicks from the apron to his opponent VSK, who was down on the floor. And to spice it up a little bit, he evidently does it to the song Tequila. So he kind of does the Pee-wee Herman dance on the ring apron and then proceeds to soccer kick his opponent. And then he finishes it off with one big kick, and then screams tequila. So that was a lot of fun. He got in the amusing spot. Unfortunately for him, VSK used a White Claw, which was one of his videos that maybe I need to go back and watch more of now. It helped distract. When VSK opened a White Claw, it distracted Danhausen and the referee because he was trying to pull the drink out of his Danhausen's hands. It allowed VSK to low blow him along with, I can't remember if it's called an Oshigurushi when you do the suplex into a knee buster, but that's what it was, suplex into the knee buster. For the win for VSK. Zach Wheeler taking on Yuta Wheeler was the next. Oh, hold on. Did I just say that wrong? I think I did. Zach Thomas versus Yuta Wheeler. This was another one where I was hoping it didn't become a trend, and thankfully it did not, where the heel won with a distraction during the match. Because Zach Thomas won with some type of a distraction, and again, we still had people running up and down the stairs, and they had made us move just as the finish was coming about. So I kind of missed out on the finish of that one to know precisely what was going on. And something a little bit of a surprise to me, Alex Shelley was on plenty early in the show. He took on Lee Moriarty. I would have to say that more than likely this was the best skill match involved the whole night. I do, like, blanket statement wise, I want to say that the quality of AIW is probably above what I get to see at New Ohio Wrestling. I think that they take people that have a little more indie experience in general than the people who show up there. Even though there are some people that kind of cross both places, there are less of the AIW guys coming here than staying up there. But anyway, Moriarty, I'm not sure how much I've really seen him, but considering that he was in there with Alex Shelley, it was kind of a great matchup because they have similar styles and it gelled very well. It was quick pace. There were a lot of counters, a lot of counters with flips. There was just a lot of good action, and I would have to think that anyone going in there against Alex Shelley, who, as I reminded my wife, we met him way back at WrestleMania 24 in Orlando when he was with TNA, and there were about a half a dozen or eight people from Impact or from TNA who happened to frequent the bar that we decided to go to that night. And yeah, so he's been around for quite a while, but he is still really good and he's in great shape. He may have slowed a little bit like Rey Mysterio, but he still finds ways to make his matches very movement oriented. Up next was the last match before the break. It was a four-way tag team match. The Bitcoin Boys with the Duke, 40 Acres, To Infinity and Beyond, and Bear Country. I definitely had not seen Bear Country before. They remind me of the NXT UK guys and their brothers, and I'm blanking on the Coffee Brothers. And that's who it is who they remind me of. I don't know if they're, well, as, and I mean, like, they remind me of them in looks and in size is probably the best way to put it. Because I think the one guy might actually be bigger than, at least taller than Joe Coffee. I don't feel like he's particularly tall, and I feel like, the one guy from Bear Country was probably a solid 6'6". He was a big dude. I don't feel like they may have thrown out weights, but I don't feel like they threw out too many heights throughout the night. And if they did, I was not paying a whole lot of attention, to be honest with you. But it was this was another match that there was just a because they it was a scramble, it was more of the and I mean it does seem like more people are going with the lucha kind of style matches where you can kind of come in and out without a tag. There were tags in this match, so I don't think it was as fast and loose as any Lucha Brothers match. But there were some loose rules to keep the action moving. And and what was something of a not surprise because a lot of heels won this evening or on this evening. Bear Country, they the taller the two guys, I believe, had a guy in the electric chair, and the other guy came off the top rope with a cross body block into a splash. And the Bitcoin boys ended up eliminating both of, Or no, the Duke pulled the one guy, the larger guy, out of the ring, and then the Bitcoin boys tossed out the other member of Bear Country, and they ended up getting the pin to win. Yeah, to win the match. So, and then this is when the Duke, who has always had something of a at least a tinge an influence of the Million Dollar Man in his gimmick, he ends up talking about how the Bitcoin boys need to get their title match. Because now they've won quite a few matches in a row over some quality competition, and they have not gotten a tag team title match against the Philly Marino Experience. So he's talking that up, and Ted DiBiase came out. They had a little verbal back and forth. And luckily, the sound. It seemed to get a little bit better during this segment. Maybe it's because people weren't talking as much because they wanted to hear Ted DiBiase talk. I'm not sure. But the sound did come through slightly better during this this part. And they yeah, you know, the Duke, of course, still ripped on Ted DiBiase. And he ended up actually offering him $100 to do something. I forget what it was, and it was quite amusing that the Million Dollar Man took the money and pocketed it. Then he put it in the Duke's mouth after giving him the sleeper slam. And after that, they ended up, yeah, because I forget, someone came out to make the save on so that the Bitcoin boys wouldn't interfere. But Sleeper Slam, DiBiase puts the money in, starts to walk away, comes back, and picks it up and says, "Nah, I'm just, you're not worth that $100," and takes it back. So, and that ended up leading to intermission. I did tweet mentioning that Danhausen seems quite popular. I definitely saw a lot of shirts of his, and then on top of that, he seemed to be cleaning housing at the merch table. He definitely had a long line. Maybe it helped because he was near our vantage point from the bleachers, but I hope that he did well, and I commend him on all of his hard work. We ended up starting the second half of the show with Manders, who is a large cowboy, taking on Big Twan Tucker. Evidently, this was a rubber match. I was not terribly familiar with this threesome of matches, despite getting a number of AIW shows recently. And Big Twan ended up getting the win with the spear. You know, it's kind of interesting. He definitely has, Twan definitely has a lot of popularity because of his appearances on NXT. But if he wants to actually do something, wrestling career-wise, I feel like there still needs to be, some improvement in his game, for him to achieve that. So I will leave it at that. Dr. Dan ended up. Dr. Dan and his cohort Parker Pierce took on the Philly Marino Experience for the AIW Tag Team Championships. We did get some Dr. Dan shenanigans early in the match to help lighten the mood. That was definitely a consistent part of the night, really, just in general, where I feel like every couple of matches had some type of levity to start the match. before just diving in. this match ended when Philly, well, Dr. Dan went up to the top rope inexplicably, and ends up getting pushed off of the top rope by Philly onto the desk that was at ring, or yeah, the table that was at ringside, and was conveniently placed earlier in the match to the point where Philly actually rolled over it. Kind of, I would always think of rolling over a table that way, despite the roll, Dukes of Hazzard style slide across the table. So he kind of left it purposely angled for the spot later, and yeah, Dr. Gann goes through the table. Both Philly and Marino splash Parker Pierce for the pinfall victory. And yeah, so they retain the belts. Next up, I felt like it was kind of interesting because the intense title, Eric Stevens taking on Matthew Justice, was next up on the card. And this one surprised me a little bit, simply because it was the biggest singles title on the show, so I assumed that it was going to close the show. It did not. Matthew Justice was joined, which was not really mentioned in my Twitter commentary, by Bill Alfonso. He did not play much of a part, honestly, in the match, aside from, I mean, he came into the match a couple of times, and I even think that he confused the referee by what he was trying to do, to be completely honest with you. It did not make a whole lot of sense what he was trying to do. Like, sometimes he just came in at a random moment, and it was just like, are you just confused at this point? There were other times where it definitely looked like he was trying to intentionally distract Eric Stevens, or at least try to help out or cheer on Matt Justice as he was doing something. But there were some other times that were just a little questionable. And I would have to admit, from the podcast on Monday, I expected maybe a little less violence out of this match, but they still brought out doors to break instead of tape. Well, they broke both tables and doors on this night. They broke more doors than they did tables, but they still broke both nonetheless. So yeah, this match ended up being very hard hitting. I mean, Matt Justice at one time was in the Performance Center for the WWE, and Eric Stevens was in Ring of Honor for quite some time years ago. They did a really good job in the ring, even with the brawling. Like, they kind of did keep the those the spots to a minimum, because I think I was talking more on the night in totality between tables and doors. I believe this one started the doors. I do not believe they broke a table in this match itself. So yeah, it was a fairly well wrestled match. There was definitely some hardcore elements to it, and yeah, I guess that was the other thing that they talked about on, I feel like, the show on Monday. The card is going to change. That they definitely have more of a hardcore match than a death. I feel like so many people label any type of hardcore match is a death match now, that maybe that gets a little too much play, because this definitely was not a death match. Nothing too crazy got pulled out. Everyone thought that because Matthew Justice has been pulling out some crazy moves one way or the other, that he was going to hang off the disco ball that was high above the Tadmor shrine and drop off of it, but nothing quite that crazy happened. There were a couple of chair spots and a couple of door spots, so there was definitely some hardcoreness to it. Matthew Justice ends up retaining the title, and you know, another hard hitting affair. up next was Eddie Kingston taking on Trey Lamar. This was another one where they kind of had a youngster in Trey Lamar taking on a veteran in Eddie Kingston. I think Jeremy and I have both voiced our opinion that we're not terribly big fans of Kingston, but I'm sure he has plenty to teach people, and there are plenty of people like John Thorne that think he is quite good at what he does. And you know, MLW certainly shares that opinion too, and they're doing fairly good for themselves. So, you know, my objection will just be listed as noted. Kingston ends up winning with a spinning back fist. It certainly started a trend, I felt like, and maybe it even started in the match before, where we had multiple jokes in the crowd about the Judas effect happening in matches. I will say that it does not look as awkward when younger people are doing it. So there is that. But great showing by Trey Lamar too. Like, I do feel like in both of these veteran versus young guy matchups that the young guy has really done quite a good job. And that was Trey Lamar against Kingston, and who was I just talking about taking on Alex Shelley there? Oh, Lee Moriarty. So there is that. We ended up for a main event. We ended up with Nick Gage taking on Josh Bishop. Josh Bishop really has a lot of potential. Like, I will be interested to see where he goes. He's 22 years old. He is fairly tall. I would say probably 6'2 or something like that. And he has a really good physique now. I would imagine that he will be able to improve upon that as things move along. And he ends up taking on Nick Gage in that main event. And it was another match that, after thinking that there wasn't going to be much violence, we had a busted open Nick Gage probably within 5 minutes of the start of the match. And this move ended up getting some "you sick fuck" chants. Josh Bishop ended up biting Nick Gage's head where said opening had happened. We thought, we wondered for a moment if he had cut himself or not, but after seeing Bishop bite him, we're like, oh yeah, that isn't real blood. And if that is, that is pretty nasty. The action at that point had spilled to the outside. It did spill close enough to us that I did not need to zoom in for the picture that I have on Twitter of the main event. They were quite close to us. They ended up, Nick Gage had put down some tacks earlier in the match. Wes Barkley ends up taking a spine buster by Gage into them. Earlier in the match, and I'm not sure if Gage or, and I want to say possibly that Josh Bishop set it up where they set up a table with the frame side up, exposed, and Wes Barkley went through the tacks, then got thrown into a table that was wrong side up, in my opinion. And that man, I would imagine, is probably black and blue today from both of those things. But because Gage's attention was with Barkley, Josh Bishop takes advantage. He choke slams Gage into the tacks and ends up getting the pin. Yeah, I really like Josh Bishop. Evidently, John Thorne does too, because he has certainly positioned him to possibly be the one to take out Filthy Tom Lawler, who's been the AIW absolute champion for quite a while at this juncture, and has done so in quality fashions. And I believe they actually have a matchup, so it does make sense that Bishop would get the win over Gage going into a absolute title match, especially after somewhat recently dropping the Intense title to Matthew Justice a couple of shows ago. So it gets some more momentum for him running into his next matchup. And I don't know if that's at the show that's at the end of November or not, but we'll find out. And I guess for that, I will also say that travel-wise, we went to Loggerheads Brewing, which was not a good experience at all. The beer was okay. I thought I had had some good stuff in the past. The food, we were kind of looking forward to it because they were established first for food, then for beer. The food did not end up turning out all the best. And then we also went to Arche Brewing. We were kind of bummed because there was Missing Falls Brewing was attached to it. It was kind of neat. It was in a industrial area, like a true industrial, like old school kind of brick building, like a warehouse, maybe not a warehouse, but some type of manufacturing took there. I don't know if it was Goodyear because that was nearby. But they had converted it into two breweries on the lower floor, and there was some other space in there with it. So Arche Brewing was quite a bit better. We did like their pizza quite a bit. We just kind of went plain with just the sausage pizza there because we knew that the AIW show was going to run long. Yeah, food was good, beer was good, much happier. And the wife always likes dark beers, so she was very happy that she chose five dark beers for her flight. And I even had a sixth one that was on their menu. There are not normally that many dark beers on anyone's menu. So she was quite happy that someone did have that many dark beers to consume. And the last one, the last brewery that we stopped in on the travels was Lock 15. And I only got to try the one beer there, and they did not really have. They had crowlers and growlers to go, but I was looking for more cans just because I do have a little bit of a backlog of beer. So I didn't want to that, and we're kind of out of fridge space at the current moment. So I didn't want to bring anything like that back. But I did have their pale ale, and it was pretty solid. Like, I guess there are some kind of certain expectations that one should have when you're drinking a beer. And, the pale ale is always going to be a little more mild in hop flavor just altogether if it's done right. I mean, that's kind of the purpose, the India Pale Ale is certainly more hoppy, and that's, again, its purpose. So it was nice. There were a lot of, it was a Cascade, and I'm trying to think if it was Simcoe hops in there. But being though those are two more floral hops, some of it came through, but not a lot. And again, that's kind of the point of pale ale. So I really like their pale ale. It would have been nice to try a few more, but I wasn't about to sit there and have a bunch of beers while while I had to drive back shortly thereafter. So there we go. Wrestling review, beer review, all in one. I am not promising a whole lot of shows this week, honestly. I will be tied up on Tuesday this week, and and so will Jeremy. So we will see. Maybe we will get around to OPA this week on Wednesday. Maybe we'll just do a wrestling show on Thursday. Lord only knows. Stay tuned. That's why I'm doing this anyway, to just kind of keep putting stuff up there. There's so much wrestling to go to and so much to watch. And to be completely honest with you, I haven't even watched NXT, or I haven't watched Dynamite or SmackDown at this juncture on a Friday evening, or Friday evening, Sunday evening. So yeah, I mean, and we got Raw coming up tomorrow, which I will probably watch on time, because that's just kind of the way the world runs now. If you're not watching it on time, you're probably too late. So since I'm too late for those other shows, oh well. Okie doke. Hope you enjoyed this, and thanks for coming to the AIW review.